Welcome, everybody, to the Lifelong Educator Show. I'm Josh Chernikov, joined by my co-host, Dotan Tamir. We've got Nosire Yassin. Let me tell you about Nosire. Good dude. We've had burgers with him. We'll tell you about that. He's the founder and CEO of Nas Daily and Nas Academy. Nosire spent the last few years transforming the world of online video and course creation. So we're going to start first by hearing about Nosire's beginning. He left Venmo, made 1,000 one-minute videos. Then we'll dive into Nas Academy. And all in all, we get to grow as online course creators. So true story, Nosire, Dotan, and I had burgers in San Diego. And I honestly thought this is the best moment this guy is going to have all year. Then he gets on stage at the biggest conference in ed tech, and then he unrolls Nas Academy. So it wasn't the biggest moment, but it was a good moment, right, Nosire?
Us having burgers?
Yes.
Oh, that was the biggest moment of my life, dude. It goes without saying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Especially because the burger
burger was not very good. But listen, since August, most people have done some work, taken a trip, had Halloween.
Yeah.
You've done a lot more. Talk about what you have been up to, please, in the last couple of months. And for you, it's probably the last couple of days.
So, I'm sure you know this, right? Like starting a company, every day feels like a year. So you look back and it's been a month of building a company and you're like, only a month? Like literally, I feel like I've been doing this for a year. So if we met 2 months ago, honestly, I feel like we met 2 years ago because we've been really busy building up Nas Academy, creating content for Nas Daily, putting out fires. Everybody has some sort of issues that they gotta. Everybody has some sort of fire they've gotta put off. So a lot of problem solving. That's what I've been doing.
Okay, that makes
sense.
Wait.
Which problems? Problems at a startup company. Interesting. Never heard about that.
If it's your biggest,
I know, right? It's very unique. I think probably the biggest problem is like, let's say you hire 100 people. It's like figuring out how 100 people are going to work together. That's actually, no one tells you that this is a problem, but you got to figure out how the teams should be structured, how who leads what and who does what. And can you kind of like, speaking of burgers, when McDonald's founder wanted to build a burger company, he went to a burger shop. And he looked at the operations. He's like, okay, I got to restructure the kitchen to build McDonald's and make it more efficient. And that's why McDonald's is so fast. So you can have the same 100 people, but you got to structure them in the right way to be more efficient. So that's a big problem.
They don't tell you that part. When I've started two businesses as well, and nobody ever told me the hardest part is going to be kind of getting the team to go all in the right direction.
Yeah.
So you're doing it.
Yeah.
Or you're trying.
Yeah. And by the way, there's also like a big responsibility, right? You tell the team, okay, let's go that direction. And then like, okay, it doesn't work. They're like, shit, that was my fault.
So you own the failure. But that's people like to see a leader that owns the failure. They feel good about it. They feel like it's okay to fail. It's a whole different conversation on their entrepreneurship. And I watched that movie. On McDonald's.
That's cool. Yeah.
It was a good movie. So talk to us about, for people who don't know, and I think my mom is joining, so you probably need to talk directly to her. What is Nas Academy?
So Nas Academy is basically like Click2. It's very similar to Click2. Are you familiar with Masterclass? We're basically building Masterclass for creators, normal creators, and enabling creators like YouTubers, Instagrammers, Facebookers, CEOs, entrepreneurs to teach and run cohort-based classes. That's what we enable. And the way we do the education is very similar to Click2 as well, in the sense that we do it cohort-based. So it's not necessarily here's a video file and you watch it and you're on your own. It's more like, okay, let's watch this together. Let's do a class community feel. And I think that's the future of education. A lot of companies are starting in that direction. And so is Nas Academy.
So you're saying you're comparing it to Masterclass, but Nas Academy is different. It's unique. There it's it brings something really new to this world.
Wow. Thank you, man. That is a very kind compliment. Yeah. Keep saying that. Keep saying
I said it about Click2 as
well. Are we recording this?
You know, everybody's trying to have a different touch to education. I mean, education has existed for thousands of years. It's just, which part of it do you want to own? Some people focus on K-12. Some people focus on cohort-based. Some people focus on videos. We want to focus on education from YouTubers, from Facebookers, from Instagrammers, from TikTokers, from CEOs. Those are the people, we call them creators. Those are the people we want to convince to teach using our technology.
So, no, sorry, you've had this vision probably for much longer than you started Naz Academy. What's the one thing that you've been thinking about for so long and now you've got this team around you and you know it's right, but they still don't believe you? But you know it's right.
Like the team doesn't believe me or the world doesn't believe me?
I mean, basically the team or the world. You know, but you know that the future is this. Like this is what's going to be happening because you saw it. You knew it when you left Venmo.
So actually, between me and the team, like I don't think there's much disagreements on where the future is heading and what we believe in. If the team doesn't believe in something that I believe deeply in, then there's a big red flag. The whole idea of working at a company is believing in the mission of the founder or the management or whatever. So I would say between me and the world, I think our vision for the world is, you know, I think in the future, one person can get bigger than Harvard. You know, it's as simple as that. Today, one person is bigger than CNN. Like you can get more views as a YouTuber than CNN. And therefore, by that logic, one person can educate more people and make more money than Harvard. And we're just very excited to get to that future. And a lot of people may disagree. We love the institutions. We love Harvard. There's some blah, blah, blah. It's great. We love Harvard too. But I think the decentralization of education is happening fast.
Yeah.
So tell me about, you know, you saying the world is not believing you yet. Do you, who is that world? General question, but more specifically, you know, you probably as a CEO, we love to speak to our users, to our customers, to really understand really what they feel. And usually they know the truth way before everybody else knows the truth. And also to our customers. So your customers are not just the teachers, but also the learners, right? So do you feel that the people of the world are really ready for moving from that old type of education to learning all those cool things online with people that they don't know?
You're right. I think only 5% of them is ready. Only 5% of the world is ready for that. My opinion, I could be wrong, and I'd love to disagree. I think the remaining 95% still does what society expects them to do. Go to a four-year college, go to a physical building and sit in a classroom and look at a whiteboard. That's 95% of the world. What the other 5% says, you know, I really love your YouTube channel. I really love you on the internet, and I'm willing to pay to learn from you because I think you possess the knowledge that I want. You know, that's 5% of the world right now, I think. I think that
percentage of the world is almost big number. Billion. It's a half a billion people. It's
5% is half a billion? No.
Oh, almost, right? Almost 5%? Half a billion. I mean, no. In a world of 10 billion people.
Are we 10 billion? I thought we're 7 billion.
Closer to 10. It's probably above 9, but we'll have somebody checking it live.
He's fact-checking you right now.
All right now. 7.7. So we're still at 7.7.
We're growing really fast. So yeah, what is it? Like
a lot of babies during the pandemic.
350 million people?
Yeah.
Around that? Okay. All right.
Something like that. Yeah. 350 million people. I mean, we just got to find those people. But they're all over the world, by the way, including China and India. Actually, out of the 350 million, probably 300 million are in China and India. And 50 million are in America, Europe, Africa, Latin America, and the rest of Asia.
So for all those people out there who are not in that 5%, define creator. Like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So actually, I'd love to get your take on this. But for me, or for us, creator is somebody that creates something from zero to one. You don't have to have an audience. You don't have to have money. You don't have to do whatever. You know, does something exist because of you? Therefore, you're a creator. So like a music producer is a creator because you create music. A CEO is a creator because you create a company. A YouTuber is a creator because you create pieces of video. A mother is a creator because you create humans. You know, so really our definition of a creator is quite large. If you want the technical definition, a creator is probably someone, an individual that wants to live on the internet. So with NASA Academy, we try to focus on people who want to make a living from doing something on the internet, video, music, art, all that stuff. That's kind of like a smaller definition of creator. So it doesn't include mothers and fathers, but it does include, you know, YouTubers and Instagrammers.
I'm glad you classified that because my daughter walks around our house singing all day long. Does that make her a creator? I hope not.
Why I hope not? She should be a creator.
She feels good enough about herself to sing all day long. She doesn't need to sing anymore, but that makes sense. So Dotan, let's cross that over a little bit. We can talk a little about Click2 because Dotan is the CEO of Click2. No Sire happens to be an investor in Click2.
Yes.
Talk about the creator in terms of Click2, Dotan, and maybe the similarities and differences.
One thing that I heard the smart person once said is that everybody can be an educator. Anyone can be an educator. I think you said it, Nas. I totally relate to that. I think that those 5% that you talk about, I really truly believe, and there are all the signals in the world there out there that those 5% will grow and become 10%. And slowly grow, and it's viral because there are so many benefits of that kind of learning. And it makes the world even more flat than what it is already. And it creates opportunities for people. So that's why it's going to grow and grow and grow exponentially. And not just that, but the fact that everybody can be an educator because you can now teach no matter what's your actual official, certification, and where did you go to school at, and where do you live, and what's your time zone, right? So for us at Click2, we're more focused on those businesses and those organizations that have been teaching in the in-person, brick and mortar, 95% of the world type of education for many, many years, lots of years, and gave extracurricular education or enrichment education or professional development education. And now realize that if they don't act fast, they're going to lose now 5%. They're going to lose later 15 and 20 and 50%. So they have to act fast and move online. And then they come to us and then, well, let's say there is a demand and it's growing and they're going to be more and more students. Where do we find all those teachers? And I tell them, listen, there's an amazing engineer of HP in Barcelona that goes to HP every day and works full time. He loves teaching and he's excited about teaching. He couldn't teach until now at your school. Now he can.
That's the power of technology, right? That's what technology is meant to do, is to enable you to become something you cannot be by yourself. And so Click2 software or NASA Academy software or whatever, we need more of that. And we need to convince people to spend 10% of their life teaching. That's it. Everybody should spend 10% of their life teaching.
And there's clearly space for Click2, for NAS Academy. It's a rising tide. I mean, we know that there's Maven, there's Disco, there's lots of great cohort-based platforms out there. So that's good. So I'm lucky enough to be on the inside of Click2 and help out. Dotan and I have these aha moments all the time. I saw a video a couple of years ago, I think it was done, of what the offices look like of NAS Academy in Dubai. So take us inside, please, what that office looks like. And the second part of this question, what's the latest aha moment that you guys had in that badass stage that you guys have set up where I know you get together and collaborate? What's the latest aha moment?
Oh, wow. These are difficult questions. So I believe that if a company asks a person to come to an office and work, then it's the responsibility of that company to make the life in the office as good as possible. So that's why we try to make it as welcoming as possible, as homey as possible, as fun as possible for people in the office. So, you know, really, the reason why we invest in the office, as much as I'd love to be a remote company, we still have two offices mm-hmm. in Singapore and in Dubai. You know, we believe that physical presence still matters to some extent. So that's one. The aha moments we come up with, you know, I think one thing that I really want to have in my company is the unscheduled meetings, the unscheduled ideas. So like when you're a remote company, you only talk to someone if you have a reason to talk to them. Okay, let's call. Let's talk about work. People don't Zoom to just have fun in the middle of like work. They just don't do that for some reason. But in the office, you go to someone, you do, hey, what up? And ideas flow when you're having
unscheduled.
Yeah, playing ping pong. Oh, what if we invite this ping pong champion to teach? Oh, great idea. Let's do it. So there's a lot of flow of ideas in an office. And so we've had a couple of those aha moments in our offices. And people don't speak enough about the value of that, you know?
No, Dotan, have you seen the inside of this office on video?
I have. And I'm planning to visit Dubai at some point, hopefully soon.
VidCon is happening, guys. You should come.
VidCon is happening. Every day there's a conference in Dubai. VidCon is happening in Dubai?
In Abu Dhabi, yeah. Like literally this early December, you should come. And
really?
Also, I'm holding my own conference, which you have to come. It's called NAS Summit. Ooh. 15th of March.
Is this breaking news?
Slightly.
Oh, cool.
Where is that happening?
Slightly breaking news. What?
Where?
In Dubai.
In Dubai. All right. I'm buying my ticket. Amazing. No, really. I like what you said about the ideas. And it's challenging as we are a remote company. And I spend time with Josh in San Diego, but not much more time in person with Josh. And we know each other for so long now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's challenging. And I think.
Yeah.
By the way, that one of the things that is happening in a live class or in a cohort class, when you're actually learning online with a group, is that the opportunity to really go a little bit beyond the curriculum, yes. a little bit beyond the materials. That's the opportunity to really
Correct.
Speak to people. Because at the end of the day, we were born to learn from each other in a
Correct.
Group, in a kindergarten, in a school. With
yes.
somebody teaching us,
right
but
now.
Challenging us to meet with yes. others, not in front of just an on-demand clip that plays, right?
Totally. I mean, whatever you're saying, I want to do like preach. I mean, I completely agree. I think one thing I remember. So, you know, I did 4 years at Harvard. I forgot everything I learned. The only thing I remember is like learning from classmates. And classmates is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, like these relationships are beneficial over a long period of life, way beyond the classroom and the course. So really, I tell the company this, we're actually not in the business of education. In fact, we don't care about the business of education. We're in the business of putting people together. And we do it under the excuse of education. You know?
Yeah. And you bring people together. Right. I get that with the cohort based courses.
Yeah.
But before they get together, and I was looking at one of the courses that you're offering, which looks phenomenal. Maybe I can get Dotan to sponsor me and take it. They got to spend a lot of time alone, you know, recording these videos and getting good at that. So let's kind of dive into, please give us like a productivity hack for a creator who has to work alone, because that's not easy all the time.
For teachers, you mean the teacher, the creator teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like
they have
number
to do
one.
The
no, sorry, let me rephrase it. I mean, what's the number one productivity hack for somebody who's wants to get into this business? They want to be NoSire, but they're like, I can't leave my job. This is crazy, but I really want to.
I'm going to give you the boring answer because I believe that's the only answer that matters.
Okay.
The biggest productivity hack to becoming a creator is to have money. That's it. It's to be privileged enough to have money to focus on content creation and be able to quit your job. The only reason I quit my job is because I had $60,000 in my bank savings from my job. The minute I saved that money, I knew I could afford to take a risk. But when I had 10K in my bank, hell no, I'm not leaving my job. Are you crazy? So the tip, the biggest hindrance for people to do what they truly love is having enough savings. That's it.
So a creator is an entrepreneur that creates. Yeah. That's basically, I mean, what you said, which is taking risk. You have to take some risks.
Yeah.
In order to really be successful. And I think that applies to so many other fields.
It applies to you guys, right? You're taking a risk to start a company. And mm-hmm. you know, there is a 90% chance that every startup fails, but you're willing to take that financial risk and time risk and money risk. Similarly for creators, when they start making videos, like they don't know if they're creative enough. They don't know if they're like going to be accepted by the world, but they're also taking that risk, you know?
So does that mean, and we're going to talk about some other qualities, but is the number one quality for a creator just has to be entrepreneurial?
I'd say so. Yeah. I would say the number one quality that a creator needs is to be sufficiently entrepreneurial to know when to take a risk, when to double down, and when to, because being a creator is actually, there's no like, it's kind of like being in the wilderness. There is no, like, there's no footpath. It's like, it doesn't say like, okay, go here, then take a left, then take a right, then you're at the top. Literally, it's just you and your sword, and you need to come up with creative ways to go through the forest.
So I have a follow-up question on that. Because you're talking about entrepreneurial creators, people who like to take risks. So they took their risk, they became creator. Now you come to them and tell, take another risk and become an educator. How hard is that? Are they easily being convinced?
So that's exactly the job that you gotta fix and we gotta fix. You gotta find a way to de-risk the act of teaching. And the way we do it is through minimum revenue guarantees. We say, hey, in exchange for teaching, we're gonna give you a minimum revenue guarantee that you'll make money regardless if nobody shows up. Because we believe in you so much that we're putting our money where our mouth is. And that's the beauty of raising venture capital. You can do that. So that's how we think about de-risking it. I think eventually it just boils down to money and opportunity cost. That's it.
So this is like an interesting, maybe secret sauce of your business model. Basically giving them, because I haven't heard that from any other platform. I don't know if that exists in other platforms as well, but you're telling me that you are giving them that promise of some minimum revenue that they're going to get anyway, because you kind of hire them to be.
That's where the creator world is heading, guys. Unfortunately,
so you are ahead of school. You are the head of school.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
The headmaster.
Pretty much. You know, this model is being done by many other like industries, right? Books. There's a signing, you know, book signing. There's a minimum revenue guarantee for creating a book. So why shouldn't the same thing exist for creating a course?
Got it.
So expand on this whole thing. Yeah.
What?
The future of the creator. Expand on the whole, like take us out further. Okay. You've taken us one step, which is minimum revenue guarantee. Take us further into what the dream should look like.
Well, the dream should look like a minimum revenue guarantee de-risks the first step, but eventually you have a community of 1,000 people that learn from you. You get 100 new students every month, and you just do like a class once a month, once every 2 months to teach. I think that's kind of like the future of teaching. Is also, it should be also like a passive income, right? It should be like, eventually it should become a video file, but the technology helps you run it like a cohort-based course. So that's like, so this way it becomes like a passive source of income as opposed to an active source of income. So that's how we look at the macro. So my course that I created last year still makes money every day, right? But I did it literally over 1 week last year. But you know, with my Facebook and my YouTube, they don't make me money every day, right? I have to make new content all the fucking time to create revenue, which can be very taxing.
So talk to me about that. You have a vision for what the technology can make to those video files and help creators engaging communities around it all the time and bringing new students in. Some of them are kids, but in your case, most of them are adults, I would say, right? What's missing? I mean, what are we? There is some technology, but what's missing? What technology still you hope for that will evolve? What's your dream tech machine that will make it all so, you know, like work for everybody?
You know, I would say, I'd love to get your opinion on this. You know, by the way, Zoom is a 1 year old technology for the world, like 1.5 years. That's crazy, right? Maybe 2 years. That's crazy. It's November. Yeah, it's 1.5 years for Americans, literally, where this Zoom. That's very fresh. I think that the real technology that's going to revolutionize this is probably the metaverse. You know, like the ability to sit in a room with people from all around the world and learn together in the metaverse. I think when that happens, education is just gonna go nuts, because gaming and education benefit a lot from being in the same room together and work. So gaming, work, education and fitness is gonna be massive, in my opinion. Mm.
So do you talk to Mark about it?
Mark Z.
I wish I had his number, man. Hey, Mark, great job.
I'm sure you can get it. But he should come to your conference in March and bring the metaverse with him, or just join you through the metaverse. Oh, that would be nice.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Maybe we could try to get him to give us like a 10-second shout out. And hey guys, sorry I can't be with you. Good luck.
And sponsor the glasses for everybody in the hall, right?
Buy us burgers.
Yeah, that would be
buy us all burgers.
Vegetarian burgers.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. So you're saying virtual reality. I mean, in other words, the virtual reality. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, I think, yeah, this is Zoom and the video conferencing technology has been with us for way more than a year and a half, but was only adopted really with the public recently. And virtual reality is kind of the same. It's been there. The technology is massive. It's amazing, but nobody's using it. And I think I see an amazing use, like you just said, an amazing use case for that with education. I think everything will start from gaming. So in gaming, it's already there, and everything starts from gaming, and that's going to be adopted by the young generation. And then this young generation will demand that when they grow and they say, oh, I don't want to learn with those boxes on the screen. I have much better technologies that I used to. So this is one thing. So, but then what about, so you said about the video, right? It's on-demand content. Will that continue, or will it need to be more live, more, or maybe somebody that's helping that creator to keep the engagement going, because it's a lot of work to keep a community going.
Totally. I mean, you now you know how NASA Academy runs, right? We have an army of facilitators, really cool, engaging humans whose only job is literally to like go on Zoom and make sure everybody has a great time, right? Now they also do some teaching, but eventually it'll just become, you know, let's build communities. That's your job as a facilitator. And I think that's a very fun job to have. Is you can do it from anywhere around the world. It's remote. It pays money. I mean, my dream is to hire 1,000 of these people and be like, yo, have 1,000 classes, 1,000 people, go make this fun, bam, 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 like the fun army. I mean, that's the dream of NASA Academy.
So are they like TAs in the class?
Kind of like TAs, but they're not. Fun, yeah, but they're a fun TAs, because they shouldn't be the teaching assistant. They shouldn't be doing any teaching,
because
that's much more difficult to scale. In the future, they'll just be responsible for making people introduce each other, get to know each other, run challenges, games, introduce assignments, but they don't, like, let's just say, give feedback on the class. So we have 50 of these so far, 50 of these trainers.
Do you have trouble finding new ones that are really, really high quality, and really great?
Yeah, it's very difficult. But that's the beauty of having 46 million followers, right? You can find 50 people that are exciting. And that's our forte.
So Sorry, Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have a creator who's got your, you know, NoSire's personality, do they then also need kind of that, you know, the icebreaker person in the room as well?
Always. Everybody needs an icebreaker person. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Like a hype man or a hype woman. Like, I think that's the model that I don't think any other company is doing it, because it's also operationally very intensive. But yeah, that's what sets us apart from other companies.
You need a hype man?
Yeah, but you're too expensive.
Oh, I wasn't asking. Yeah, I got my hype job already, but you don't need one, right? Do you have somebody along your side?
Yes, I need a hype man. Yeah, yeah. And I have a hype man, and he's called, like he cracks jokes with me and like makes sure everybody's having a good time. Like, everybody needs a hype man.
Nice, nice, nice. By the way, so I do have some ideas for you on where to find those hype men, women. Because I'm coming from the summer camp industry, and in the summer camp
field, that's exactly where we find them.
Yes. If you see somebody, if you see on their resume that they were camp counselor, and even more than one time, they're your people. They are amazing people. Because they're really fun, and they are to the point, and they can create engagement, and they usually are very dedicated. Like they're dedicated, and it's hard work. I mean, right? Because you have to keep the energy high and fake it till you make it, and then keep faking it and then making it and keep faking it, never stop. So it's...
Totally. I agree. And there's thousands of these people, and everybody... Mm-hmm. All of them are looking for like a side gig to make like $50, $100 extra.
Super for fun. My industry, the enrichment after school enrichment industry, our people that we looked for, honestly, were recess people. Whoever could run recess at a school could absolutely coordinate our after school program, because they didn't take shit from anybody. They knew the fun parents, the mean parents, the good kids, the bad kids, the tough teachers, and they regulated that whole thing. As all the kids were coming at them to leave the school, they ran the whole thing on their own.
Those people are gold.
Okay. So we've talked about, from the creator standpoint, they need to be entrepreneurial. Talk about some of the other characteristics that a creator must have other than some money and being entrepreneurial, so that somebody out there who's listening can look themselves in the mirror and say, I got this shit.
Okay. So it's actually three characteristics, right? Be privileged or have enough money, be entrepreneurial, like, you know, work really hard and be consistent. But the third one is be interesting. Just don't be boring, right? It's a really simple thing. You just gotta be interesting. And I think if I were to be honest, like, the biggest indication of that, you can tell if you're poised for success or not, is look at your close group of friends. When you make a status update on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, how many likes do you get compared to your friends? This may sound dumb, but trust me, it worked for me, right? So I was averaging 60 likes, 6-0, before Nas Daily. When I make status updates, I'm going to Israel, 60 likes. But when my friends say the same status updates, they would get 5. And I was like, why do I get 11 times more than my friends, or 12 times more? And I think that was early signal that people are interested in the way I speak. And therefore, if you upload something on Facebook and you get 50 likes or so from 50 friends, there's a very high chance 50 million people are interested in you as well.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you, I think, a tough question. I don't anticipate you have the answer, but I believe you probably thought through it. Not everybody's privileged. So how are you gonna help those folks who aren't privileged to become creators?
Totally. And this is why we do what we do. So last year we've given out $700,000 in scholarships. Like, $700,000 real dollars gave to people, because we go to brands and we ask them to give us a large budget and we give fellowships to creators to become this. So we want to continue doing that. We have Giving Day, which is like 1+1 education, a free education. We run free workshops. Like, we're all about like giving back as a community in a sustainable fashion. You know, I think eventually that is a problem for people who don't have money. It's a problem for TikTok to fix, right? TikTok has enabled you to create content without the need to buy a camera, without the need to buy an editing laptop. You can just edit on your phone. And so I think technology is just making it so that you don't have to be very privileged to become a creator. You still have to right now, but when TikTok or Instagram enables monetization, then okay, I'm at home, I'm at work, I make a TikTok, it goes viral, I make $1,000 from it, I make $10,000 from it, great, now I can quit my job and focus on this full time. So these are structural problems that NAS Academy cannot fix alone, and Clickto cannot either, you know?
Last question. You're talking about...
Let me ask one more question. I got to ask him a question.
You got to ask him a question?
I got you. Scholarships, great. Okay, you give them away. They are ready to take a risk. What if somebody is just friggin' boring? Then what?
You know,
have courses on that?
What is the success rate of startups? 5%? What is the success rate of actors in acting schools? 1%? What is the success rate of like people who apply to Harvard? 4%? Everything in life is around that, right? Like, success is variable. So some people's success is, oh, I got 1,000 followers and I got freelance gigs to make videos every month. That's success. Others is 1 million followers. So I don't think we should be promising like 100% success rate when it comes to like education. And no university should do that. Even Harvard doesn't promise that. So I think everybody knows going into something new that there's an inherent risk. There is a risk that you're just boring and nobody's interested in you. And just got to live with that risk. You know, not much I can do.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I think you just have to dream. If there's a dream there, and if you have the grit and you can survive failures and failures and failures, your chances to be part of this small percentage of successful people is growing, right? Because a lot of people just, you know, say after the first failure, oh, that's not for me, I'm not going to be successful, and they leave. Those who stick to it and improve, it's part of life. You have to be very persistent, and it can help. Not promise you anything, but it can help. I can only assume. Oh, I had a question before, and now it's because Josh, I forgot, Josh, what did you do, man?
I'm sorry, but I'll ask another question. Okay. You talk about failure, right?
Yes.
So you created your 1 minute videos over 1,000 days. Can you even think of a number of fine? You made 1,000 videos, but how many takes did you do? You know, when you landed in Israel that morning, you did that video, or you landed in Singapore. I mean, there must have been failure after failure after failure. You're like, nope, bad take yep. to get yep. you to those 1,000. Yeah. So that's got to be tough, right?
So 1,000 1 minute videos to create content, like every 1 minute video is probably like 40 minutes of shooting, 40 minute video, right? So you cut it down to 1 minute. So there's a 40 minutes of takes. So probably 40,000 minutes. So I've probably taken 40,000 minutes of video. And then you edit all that out to like 1,000 1 minute videos. That's kind of like, yeah, I mean, it is.
There's a lot of failure there, right? There's a lot of time used that doesn't make it to the cutting, you know, doesn't make it to the video.
Totally. And I think that's persistence is key for creators. It's like, you got to do the same goddamn thing 10,000 times for it to work. And that's just the story.
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. No, you're right. So this is slightly depressing, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we didn't mean to depress anyone. Let's finish on a more positive. No, it's all positive, but you know,
yeah.
What do you think? So I mentioned earlier the benefits and the opportunity that online learning in a group brings.
Yeah.
And to you, what do you think will be, like, personally, not, you spoke about money, and obviously this has an incredible business opportunity. That's one of the biggest reasons we all are in this business. But from a personal perspective, from some impact that can be done on the world, on specific people, what do you think this kind of the future of online learning can do?
I think it can get people out of debt. That's what I think. I think if you have the right knowledge, you don't need a four-year degree. It can get you out of debt, both financial and time debt, in which you have to spend 4 years. Like, I started my life when I was 22, right? Because I had to spend 22 years in school. In the future, I think you should just spend 16 years at school. And then we should just hire you. You should go to the job market when you're young, 17, 18, 19, like, that's it. And so, and then education becomes a continuous process. Honestly, I'm much more likely to hire someone who took my class than to hire someone who took a Stanford filming class, right? It's just, there's a specific knowledge that companies need. And if you have that specific knowledge, that's literally all they need to hire you. They don't need anything. They don't care about your liberal arts education. They just don't. So why do we do what we do? Why do you do what we do? Is because in the future, if you make education more efficient, people will save time back of their lives, right? They wouldn't have to spend so much time sitting in a classroom bored out of their life. And two, they don't have to pay so much for education. So they take that money back and invest it in crypto or things that matter to them. You give people time and money. That's powerful. That's what education should be. Give you time and money.
So the new wave of online education will break the old-fashioned structure.
Yes.
Elementary school, middle school, high school, college, work, blah, so blah, blah, blah. We'll break the structure. Outdated. And that break will create a lot of advancement to the world and to each one of us.
Yeah. In the 1970s, we had that structure. In the 1920s, we had that structure, right? Elementary, middle, high school, then college. But in the 1920s, it made sense because you really needed 22 years to get information because information was in very short supply. Now, you have so much information, you don't need to spend the same amount of time because you can absorb much faster and there's a lot of supply. So you can reduce the time to be in a college or a school or whatever.
So when is this happening? When is this happening? when tomorrow, you guys IPO. Next year, 5 years, when?
When you guys IPO, that's when it happens.
That's
for a second it was depressing, but when you take a step back and you listen to you guys, you know, you look like you're at the ping pong table right now in Dubai, just kind of going back and forth, you know. Click2 and Nas Academy have created these places where creators or enrichment providers can bring their teachings to the world. Basically, I think what we're saying here, as long as you're persistent, as long as you're ready to take a risk, you can be a teacher and you've got ways to do it very easily. You've got great role models to do it.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. Pretty, the bar is actually in a good way, pretty friggin' low at this point. Go for it.
And it's going to keep going lower and lower.
Is that a happy note to end on, Dotan?
That's a happy note.
Good. All right. Well, I think that this was a phenomenal discussion. It honestly felt like we were in your office. So I can only imagine what it's like being in your office and getting to collaborate and do all those fun things that you get to do as a member of the Nas Academy team. So we got some insights into Nas Academy, into Click2, into the creator world, into your world, which is super interesting. And we hope that everybody who was listening, who's a part of our community at Lifelong Educators, enjoyed this. And so for now, check everything out that we'll put out there for everybody, and keep being persistent and take risks.
Yeah. And thank you guys so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation and I wish you the best of luck.
All right. Bye-bye.